Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Why do New Year's resolutions fail? Many times it's because we resolve to stop doing something without putting something else in its place. We must add new habits of righteousness to prevent falling back into our old ways. How is this accomplished? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series entitled, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Pastor Lutzer comes now with part two of Developing Habits of Righteousness. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3.
Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to take out time to read the first 10 verses. And I want you to notice very carefully that as I read, Paul is not only saying what we shouldn't do, but he's saying what we should. He said, if you then have been raised with Jesus Christ, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Let's just read that far for a moment. Now, I want you to notice three observations from this passage of Scripture regarding the way in which we should live our lives. The first is this. If you are interested in breaking that sinful habit, number one, you must readjust your values. Notice this. If you have been raised with Christ, and you are, in the Greek text, incidentally, there's no doubt about the fact that you have been raised. It could be translated, since you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. In other words, one of the things that God wants us to do is to so readjust our values in life that we realize that the important things are the things that are not seen. Like Moses, you remember, who endured as seeing him who is invisible. And to so readjust our lives that we will realize that our temptations and our struggles and our bad habits are to be broken by the Spirit of the Lord, so that we will be more and more conformed to what God wants. It's not a matter of God simply dishing out a little bit of victory here and a little bit of victory there. It's a matter of God taking us through a process of struggle and development and maturity, that ultimately we might reorganize our entire lives. That's what God wants. And what a thing it is when God wants to do that in our lives, and he uses the bad habits to do it. That's right. I'm not justifying the bad habits, but as you overcome some of the things that you have begun to do, God will see that he wants to do something much more than simply clean up one little area of your life. Think of Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and God did tempt Abraham. You say, oh, no, no, God doesn't tempt people. Well, yes, he does. He leads them to the place of temptation. Now, I realize that in James, the Bible says that God does not tempt anyone. And if you read the rest of those verses, you'll find very clearly it says that in that context, temptation means a solicitation to evil. God does not cause us to sin. When we sin, we must take responsibility for that. But God does lead us to the place of temptation, just like the Holy Spirit drove Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so the Bible says that God tempted Abraham. Tempted him to do what? Well, threw him a challenge and said, are you going to obey me or are you going to obey your own desires? Are you going to be willing to slay your son or are you not? What a tremendous temptation for Abraham to say, I will not obey God. I won't kill my boy. Don't you think he was tempted to do it? Of course. But you remember that when Abraham was finished that temptation and he won, and he chose in God's favor that the angel of the Lord came out of heaven and spoke to him. And you remember that the angel of the Lord told Abraham not to sacrifice his son. And eventually, you remember there was a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham took that ram and offered him for a sacrifice to God. But the Bible says that Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. What does that mean? It means that Abraham received a new revelation of God. Think of all of the new thoughts that Abraham had in his mind as he left that mountain. Think of all of the new insights that he had into God and into his working as a result of that struggle. His knowledge and his appreciation of the Lord God Jehovah was enlarged. And that's what God wants to do when he rids you of that sinful habit. God wants you to readjust your values that you might see that the important things are the things that are not seen and the unimportant things are the things that we work for every day, the things that are seen. Necessary in this life, but not the important things. Now you'll begin to see then that God has something much broader and much more important in mind. You know what God's will is for us, don't you? You know, sometimes we quote that verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I've heard so many people say, well, we know that God has some good in it, but we don't know what it is, but someday we'll know. No. You should know right now what the good is. Right now. Right now, what that good is in Romans 8:28, you ought to know it right now. Do you know what it says in the next verse? Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is the good that is referred to in the preceding verse. And you see, God works all things together for good. That is to say, he takes all of the struggles of life. Why? That we might be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God wants to do in your life. It's not just a matter of giving you victory over a sliver of your existence. It is that he might be able to begin a much larger work. And you have to readjust your values and say, do I really have my priorities in life straight? Have I really allowed God to show me what is important? If you want to find out what is important, I'd like to give you a little assignment. Sometime this week when you have a spare moment, take a sheet of paper and write down all of the things that you would do if you were told that you had only 2 years to live. Oftentimes, that's a good way for us to really focus our priorities. It's amazing what happens when people discover sometimes that they may have a terminal illness. I wish that upon no one. I certainly dread it myself. I don't know how I would handle it, but I've known people who have said that in moments like that, you finally can distinguish much more clearly the important from the unimportant, the things that are above from the things that are on the earth. And God says that's what you should do. Readjust your values. Second, refocus your thought life. Notice this, set your mind on the things above, it says in verse 2, not on things of the earth. This is the answer to the principle of replacement that I spoke about a moment ago. It is not enough simply to renounce sin. What we must do is we must begin to consciously and deliberately set the focus of our minds directly upon the Scriptures. And it is through the process of the meditation of the Word of God that the works of the flesh are literally squeezed right out of our life. There's a young man, I call him young, he's about my age, who was the pastor of a church, and he lost his wife 2 years ago because of terminal cancer. And I have never seen a man so radiant and with such tremendous ability to have taken that, even though he was left with two small girls, children. And I asked him, I said, how is it that your experience is so different from so many others that I know? Why was it that you and your wife were able to handle that all the way to the bitter end? I said, weren't there times when you were in deep anxiety? Oh, yes, he said. He said, we had our times of deep anxiety, but we wouldn't tolerate anxiety. I said, well, how did you not tolerate it? He said, I would read my wife the Bible chapter after chapter after chapter. And then he says, it was in times like that that God's peace just overwhelmed us. You see, that's the answer. To simply have said, oh God, please deliver us from anxiety, and then to get up from off your knees with a blank mind, open and ready for anxious thoughts once again, will not work. You can say, oh God, deliver me from this sinful habit, please, please, and I yield to you. And your mind, as you get up from that chair, is empty, and it's a receptacle, an open, ready receptacle for all sorts of angry, difficult, confusing, and sinful thoughts once again, and it will never work. God's principle is never to have you simply renounce sin. It is always to step by step fill your vacuum with habits of righteousness. And when that happens, the others have no room. Look at what Paul says here. He says, put off these things, he says, but also put on the new man and do these things. You see, he says, not only don't be drunk with wine. What does he say in the very same verse? But be filled with the Spirit. You see, the way in which you break a sinful habit is not only to renounce it, but it is to fill your mind with the Word of God, so that in your life, new thought patterns can be developed. Now, I think that what you ought to do is go home and find verses of Scripture that relate to all of the specific problems that you face. And constantly be filling your mind with the Word of God relating specifically to the problems that you face. And suddenly you'll discover that your thought patterns will begin to change, and you'll be able to think righteous thoughts rather than evil ones.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What I call this is the principle of replacement. It isn't simply renouncing certain things without inviting other ideas, namely the Word of God and the truths of God, into our hearts. That's actually why I wrote the book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. I wrote it detailing the things that we need to do on our part, but also helping us to understand what God has done on His side to help us. For a gift of any amount, this resource can be yours.
That was Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of Developing Habits of Righteousness, the third of four messages in his series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.